Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a service primarily of carols and readings, so I think the preacher's job for the sermon is to keep it short. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. All right. So I want to say a few things tonight. This doesn't happen very often, but Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Sunday are three consecutive days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so I'm going to preach a little mini sermon series, and they're going to be on these themes. Tonight, the Word of God. Tomorrow, the Son of God. And the next day, the House of God. So that's our theme. Word of God, Son of God, House of God. I want us to think about those things this Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Christmas 1 weekend. So let's dive right in, because I'm supposed to be short, I heard. So anyway, when we say the Word of God, we usually say Word of God, that's the Bible. And it is. But I want us to divide that up into some things, right? The Word of God, God's holy word, His holy scriptures, the word that He has inspired and given to us. But I want to say there's some things in here going on. I want to start by dividing it into this. There's the creative Word of God. The creative Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, God says, let there be light. What happens? Light, right? God says, let there be light. The light comes on. God said, let the waters above be separated from the waters below. What happens? Right? Let the land be separated from the water. What happens? It happens. Right? God says, let there be, and there is. So we have to know that. Theologians say that's when God works immediately. And doesn't mean immediately in a hurry. Immediately means without a medium, right? It's not being mediated. Does that make sense? So God's immediate work is God says, and it is, right? We have to know that's God's infinite power. That's who He is, God the Almighty. God's word, let there be light. What happens? Light, right? Let there be light. There's light. So we know that when we say Word of God, there's God's creative word where God works in a situation to cause something to take place. Let me ask you, does God work now? Right? And so, I want to not linger too long on this, but I want us to bear this in mind. When we read Genesis chapter 1, God creating everything that is, this is the God of the universe, the Almighty God and Creator of all things. When that God says, let there be, there is, if that God speaks into my life, what happens? There is. And so ask yourself this, is there a situation in my life that I need, not just any old thing, but I need the Word of God to speak creatively to that situation? Don't name it out loud, but think of that. Think of that for this new year. It's late December now, in January 2022. What is it that I might say, God, use your immediate power. God, use your creative power. God, speak your creative word. Does it make sense? God speaks a creative word. What's the next thing God does? God does also speak a moral word. A moral word. That's the one that most people don't like, right? The moral word is the thou shalt not. In fact, Genesis 1, God created. Genesis 2, God says to Adam, what? You can eat anything you want, but, right? You guys remember that. That's God's moral word. If God says don't touch, what are you supposed to do? Don't touch. Don't touch it. You can touch anything. You can have anything in the entire creation. The whole garden, it's yours, not that tree. Now, when we hear the moral law of God, what do we say? That doesn't make sense to me. I've been thinking it out on my own, and I don't see any reason that should be a rule. Isn't that how we approach it? And so that's one law, the moral law, don't touch that tree, but God gives the commandments. God gives many other commandments. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery. And what do? Well, God, I have exceptions. There's exceptions in my case. It won't hurt me. That's how Satan talks, right? Did God really say if you do this, you'll die? That's not going to happen. You'll be like God. Does God speak a moral law? Yeah, does God still speak the moral law? Yeah, I know. And in 2021, everybody thinks, oh, that's outdated. That's so old-fashioned. That's so 1950s, right? It's weird. The 1990s are 30 years ago now all of a sudden. How did that happen? But, oh, that's so last century. We know nowadays it's all the old wisdom, outdated. Everything my parents said, outdated. Everything my grandparents said, outdated. Does the moral law still speak? Yeah, it does. God has a creative word, but God has a moral word. This, by the way, you're not saved by keeping the moral law, right? You're not saved by it, but we always have to ask, when we encounter the moral law, does God care how I live? He does. Even as a believer in Christ, and we'll say, you're saved by faith in Christ. Does he care how I live after that? Yes, he does. He cares how I live. Now, we know that when it comes to the moral law, Satan is the one to say, did God really say? Did God really mean it that way? And by the way, what God said isn't true. We live in that world. And when sin happens, what happens after sin? Real life. That's what we call it now. Real life happens. I want to say something about real life. A lot of what we call real life could be called sin and its consequences. It's not always direct consequences. It doesn't mean if you did this sin, you get punished that way, but it just means we live in a fallen, broken world, right? We live in a fallen, broken world. Now, I want to acknowledge this at Christmas season. There are some people who get to the holidays and it's not so fun, right? I want to acknowledge that. Some people struggle with the holidays. We want to say this. Christianity is not, hey, here's a pair of rose-colored glasses, but I want us to get this. There's the creative word of God. There's the moral word of God. Then real life happens, and difficulty happens, and hardship comes, and that's why we have the third word from God. Are you ready for it? The other word of God is the word of promise. The word of promise. There's the creative word, there's the moral word, but there's the word of promise. Where is it in the Bible that God first promises a Savior? The fall into sin happens in Genesis 3. Where's the first promise? Genesis 3, right? The Bible goes sin and grace, not just sin and punishment, but sin and grace. Adam and Eve fall into sin, and God says, I'll send a Savior, and he'll be born of a virgin, and he'll live a sinless life, and he'll save his people. That's a word of promise. How often does that promise happen in the Bible? Over and over and over again. We heard some Old Testament passages. He'll be born in Bethlehem. He'll be born of a virgin. He'll heal the blind. He'll raise the dead. He'll preach the gospel to the poor. He'll die for my people. Because by his wounds I'm healed, right? By his stripes we're healed. That's a word of promise. It happens over and over again. The word of promise is the same God who spoke a creative word, the same God who spoke a moral word, and he says, this is my promise, in my son I'll save you. I was listening to a sermon recently. Pastors listen to other pastors' sermons, right? This pastor said he wanted to read a story or a Bible narrative for Christmas that isn't normally a Christmas reading, and he read Mark chapter 4, where Jesus calms the storm. Right, they get into the boat, they start to cross the lake, and there's a terrible storm. They all think they're going to die. And does that sound like a Christmas narrative to anybody? It doesn't, but here's why I said it is. Because the word of God in Christ is a word of promise, and the disciples missed it, but this was the promise. In Mark chapter 4, before the storm even happened, Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. You see what he said? Does God speak a word of promise? Yes. Find them. Read your Bible. Find the promises of God. They're good and reliable. It's a small thing. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. There's a terrible storm. Jesus, we're going to die. And he's thinking, didn't I say we were going to get to the other side? That's exactly right. That is a Christmas theme. That Christ comes into the world to fulfill the promises of God. So there's a creative word. There's a moral word. There's a word of promise. And then I can't miss these words. I want to close with this thought. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know where that is, right? John chapter 1. That's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. That's what we've been talking about, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. It doesn't mean just the text. The Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word what? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You read that in the open liturgy. Is this the Word of God? Yes, it is. This is the Word of God. But I think God smiles in heaven and he's thinking, this is his Holy Scriptures. This is the Word of God, infallible in all that it teaches and says. But God is smiling because he says, the other Word of God is my Son. The Word of God was in the beginning with God and was God. And he's talking about a person. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. And what's his name? Jesus. Word of God. God speaks creatively and powerfully. God does have a moral word to us. God has a word of promise. But I want us to think this. All the things that are going on in the world, all the crazy things that have gone on the last 2 years, right? Everything nationally, and all the stuff that's going on in our personal lives, all of real life, has God spoken? Yes. God speaks, and the Word is Jesus. That's the Word. It's Christmas, and we rejoice to behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten. God's Word to you, Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.